Ministry takes many forms. One manner of outreach that continues to grow and experience much spiritual fruit is that of using God's creation to connect young people with the reality of God. I'll be speaking with Eric St. Pierre, the Illinois State Director of Cross Trails Outfitters, next on the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Remember that your failure to be informed does not make me a wacko.
The time has come, the walrus said, to talk of other things. Of shoes and chips and sealing wax and cabbages and canes.
My mind doesn't work that way. I got this real moron thing I do. It's called thinking. And I'm not a very good American because I like to form my own opinions. I have certain rules I live by. My first rule, I don't believe anything the government tells me. And I don't take very seriously the media or the press in this country.
Toto, I have a feeling we're not in Kansas anymore.
Nine most terrifying words in the English language are, I'm from the government and I'm here to help.
This is your last chance. After this, there is no turning back. You take the blue pill. The story ends. You wake up in your bed and believe whatever you want to believe. You take the red pill. You stay in Wonderland. And I show you how deep the rabbit hole goes.
Hello, and welcome to Soaring Eagle Radio. Your host is Mike Spaulding. Get ready to be challenged and encouraged as you consider today's news and Mike's commentary from a biblical perspective. Now, let's join Mike.
Welcome, friends. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio. As always, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, and now TuneIn. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and of course, listen to every episode on our website, SoaringEagleRadio.com. Eric, welcome to the Soaring Eagle Radio Show.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thank you for accepting the invitation. As I said in the introduction, you are the Illinois State Director of Cross Trails Outfitters, and that is a youth hunting and fishing club. And I'm going to read just a brief description, and this is found on your website. And this is a quote, many kids today are unfamiliar with the outdoors. Cross Trails Outfitters is changing that by providing an opportunity to get them outdoors and teach them about our hunting and fishing heritage while sharing our faith. We want kids to know that life is different than what they see on TV or in video games. There's a life out in God's creation, and Cross Trails Outfitters is all about guiding the next generation to Christ through the outdoors. We provide the mentorship, training, and assets for kids to go hunting and fishing while ensuring a wholesome and fun environment in which participants can grow in knowledge and reverence of God. Well, that's a wonderful synopsis of what a CTO is all about. I'm wondering, Eric, if you could share with our listeners the history of CTO and then maybe what makes CTO different from other hunting and fishing clubs?
Okay. Well, the biggest difference is our Christ-centeredness. A lot of other hunting and fishing clubs are centered around the hunting and the fishing. And we use the hunting and the fishing as an opportunity to work with these young men and sometimes girls that we run into that God puts in our paths. And that's the main difference, is that we're Christ-centered and we use hunting and fishing as a way of connecting with people, where a lot of the other types of clubs, they're hunting and fishing focused, and there's nothing wrong with that, but that's just what their focus is. And if, you know, there's not necessarily a focus on Jesus, so.
Right, right.
Because your standard outdoorsman, I mean, that's what they're going for, is the event, not necessarily for the talk around the event.
Yes.
But the history of CTO began in 2004 in Texas with a gentleman named Mike Arnold. Now, Mike's no longer with us. God's called him on to do other things. But we continued on even though he was being called elsewhere. So he was called elsewhere in 2012. So when you first heard about Cross Trail Outfitters, or you try to look it up in the past, it was Mike Arnold Ministries, DBA Cross Trail Outfitters. And then, and that started, I think the first tax return was in 2005 because he began in the fall of 2004. But then, if you look at Cross Trail Outfitters now, it's Cross Trail Outfitters Inc. And that changed in 2012 when Mike was called away. He wanted to take Mike Arnold Ministries with him, which made, you know, that made sense to us.
Sure.
We're not Mike Arnold, and he was.
Right. Yep.
But, we're Cross Trail Outfitters, so we switched over to Cross Trail Outfitters Inc. And we've been Cross Trail Outfitters Inc. ever since. And we have a group exemption through the IRS, for the paperwork side of things. And then, each state is Cross Trail Outfitters of that state. So I'm the state director for Illinois. We've been around since 2010. So that's the timeline there. But Mike started in 2004 with a handful of boys and took them out hunting and fishing and talked to them about Christ around campfires. And then it's just in 2008, he started doing an initiative called Take It to the Nation. And that I ran into Cross Trail Outfitters in 2009. I was on Youth Specialties website looking up something. I forget what I was looking up, but I saw the ad for Cross Trail Outfitters and a little ad in the corner on their website, and it said underneath the logo of CTO, it said Building Men, Preserving Our Heritage, and Sharing Our Faith. And I said, well, those are three things I'm very interested in, and I contacted Mike and said, hey, do you have a program here in Illinois? And he said, no. And I said, well, I'd like to help whoever it is you find to be the guy to run the program here in Illinois, but I don't want to be the guy. Mainly I had another career path that I was on, and I was, looking to, continue that career path. And I was interested in helping, but not being the guy where the buck stopped.
Yeah.
So what had happened is over the next year, I'd really been praying a lot. I mean, I'd been praying just because of normal prayer and stuff like that, but, God was working on me, to take that role as the guy. And Mike continued to send me, emails that he would get from moms from Illinois that were looking to have a program here and was wondering if there was a program and things of that nature. So he kept sending me those emails, which, kind of, I pray about those and things like that. But then,
he was wearing you down slowly.
Something like that, yeah. But what happened was in 2010, about October of that year, he called me and said they're going to have what they call a calling camp in North Carolina and asked if I would be interested in going to see if CTO was something that I would be called, you know, see if I was called to do this ministry. And by that time, God had worked on me probably more so than Mike had. And I decided that he was to go to this, just to see where it led me, to see where the Lord was leading me. And at the end of that camp, I really felt like God was calling me to leave the career path I was on and focus on developing this program in this state for the youth here that need it. And that's what happened. And then about a month later, we went to a commissioning camp, which is kind of more of a training type situation. And we bring our wives to that. And my wife, who knew where I was at in life and was, you know, she's my wife, so she knew much more insights to my life than most people, just really felt like that confirmed with her when we got to the commissioning camp that, yes, this is where God was calling me to serve. And so in November of that next year, I decided, or November of that year of 2010, I pretty much just felt that that was where the Lord called me, so we started the program November 15th, 2010.
Mm. Yeah. So. Yeah. And it's CTO is in seven states.
Yes.
Virginia, Washington, Texas, South Carolina, North Carolina, Missouri, and, of course, Illinois. And there are two chapters there in Illinois.
Yeah.
You are the state director there, and so you have oversight for both of those chapters. One of them is in Champaign, and the other one is where?
It's in Carroll.
Carroll
County. It's the outfitter in that county lives in Mount Carroll.
Okay.
But it's Carroll County. And, you know, part of my job as a state director is to get, more chapters started.
Yes.
So, I started the chapter in Champaign when we started CTO. And I've kind of been balancing both the state director role and the Champagne outfitter role for since then. This January, one of my dads stepped up to take the role of outfitter here for Champaign County. And at the same time, I had had a gentleman who contacted me about starting a chapter in his county. And since then, we have a couple more guys that have stepped up that want to start chapters. So my goal is by the end of 2016 to have five chapters up and going.
That's excellent.
And then our long-term goal is to get 102 chapters, because that's how many counties there are in the state of Illinois.
Wow.
But you know, I'm letting the Lord lead on that, and we'll Amen. Go at his speed.
Yes.
And you know, I know that number may be arbitrary because of the amount of counties, and some of the counties are smaller than others, and two of them, you know, one guy might be able to handle two counties in certain areas and things like that. But
sure.
The purpose is to have all the counties covered by someone.
Yes. Yeah. You mentioned programs a few moments ago, Eric. I'm wondering if you could give us a rundown of some of the many programs that CTO offers for young boys, young men.
Okay. Well, our official programs are we do a sportsman's night, we do a family night, and we do outings and summer camps. So to kind of help it along, sportsmen's nights are mostly focused on teaching the young men how to do things like calling, shooting, bows and arrows, throwing tomahawks, you know, using electric calls, duck calls, buck calls, all the type of stuff that you'd use, sharpening knives. I mean, there's a whole list of things that we can do at a sportsman's night.
Yeah.
And that's kind of what it's for. It's more of an activity-driven learning how to do something new.
Yeah, hands on.
Yeah, hands on. Family nights are more like it's an opportunity for the whole family to get together. We usually have a speaker of some sort at a family night. Like for example, we have a family night coming up the end of March. For Illinois, what we do our family nights on the what I call the fifth Wednesday. If a month has five Wednesdays, or the 13th week, you know, whatever of that quarter, that's when we do our family nights.
Okay.
And the family night is mainly an opportunity for everybody to get together. We celebrate what the boys have accomplished for those 3 months. And we usually have a speaker to come in and talk about something. For example, this month we're going to have the master instructor from the Illinois Department of Natural Resources for the Champaign County master instructor for hunter safety classes. And he's going to come in and talk about hunter safety and the importance of hunter safety, and then answer any questions about hunter safety, and then sign up those young men and girls and adults even that have not had hunter safety class, and get them all ready for going to hunter safety in April of this year here in Champaign. And we've had DNR officers come in and talk about that. We've got some, I mean, it's fun because sometimes the boys can come up with some crazy questions, especially for the officers. They are like, what if this happens? And
you
know, yeah. People chuckle like, well, in that situation, if that ever happened, you know.
Right. Yeah.
Like, you know, it's things that would never, you know, ever exist, that probably would never, ever happen.
Right. Yeah. Except in a boy's imagination.
Right. Right.
Right.
So.
Yeah. And I know you have some fishing activities too.
Yeah, and that's the outings. The outings are that do the hunting and the fishing style of things. So an outing is either a hunt or a fishing event. So we may take the kids out fishing for one weekend, and then another weekend we'll take them out hunting, depending on the seasons and things like that and when the best time is. Like, I don't take kids fishing in the middle of, you know, November, because that's hunting season, and
It's
not effective. When you take them out, you want to go during the prime times when they're going to experience success.
That's right.
So we do a lot of the fishing during those fishes, you know, when the fish are breeding and things like that, when they're spawning and things of that nature, because they're using up energy, so they have to eat, so that's easier to catch them.
Sure.
And then of course around here we got some power plants with some warm lakes, so the fish can get pretty big, and which is nice because they got heated. It's kind of being in a heated pool year round.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Yeah, that's a good way to look at it.
And then we, weekend outings are and we also have hunts and things like that. And then we have summer camps that we do. This year in Illinois, we're doing two summer camps. Sometimes we do three, sometimes we do one. It just depends on the situation, landowners and things like that, what's available. But this year we're doing, the first summer camp we're doing is in June. And that one is, 4 days fishing on Lake Michigan, with charter boats.
Oh, nice.
We're going to be, yeah, it's a real exciting camp. And we did it last year with one boat. This year I'm trying to do two boats full. We can take up to 10 kids, and, well, 10 boys. We don't do co-ed. Because we just don't think that's right.
Yeah.
Girls do with girls and boys do with boys. We don't do the co-ed thing because we're doing overnight events. So boys will be, well, two days on the water. Then we're going to take a day off. We're going to relax and go shooting some guns and go to the range and stuff like that. And then we'll do two more days on the water. Last year I ended up doing 4 days on the water and we had boys sleeping most of the time on the fourth day. It was fun for me because I got to do a lot of fishing and, we had these hot wing buffalo blue cheese crackers, whatever that they wanted to cook. So it was funny because like when they'd all had their mouths agape as we were riding around in the water, put the crackers in each of their mouths and watch it start to wiggle around and start to burn sensation on their lips and stuff like that. So we have a good time with the boys. There's a lot of stories about me that they come up with, which I don't understand where they get these ideas, but but that's what they do. There's all the legend of bears is what they call them.
Yes.
They have a lot of legend of bears stories of things that supposedly happened, but I don't ever remember doing, but you know, it keeps them in line. So that's always good.
That's right. Well, this might be a good place, Eric, to, and we'll certainly, give this information out at the end of our conversation, but this might be a good place to let our listeners know how they can contact CTO if they're interested in either joining, enrolling a son, maybe volunteering, or financially supporting. How would they do that?
Well, the initial easiest way is to go to the website and find a chapter closest to you. If there's a specific chapter, like a state or something that you want to work within, like if you're from one of our states that we already work in, you'll probably want to connect with the state director of that state, which all that information is on the website. If you don't have a chapter in your state, you could always contact the national office, and they'll point you in the right direction that way.
Okay.
If you want to get involved or send kids to camp, like I have kids that come from California that come to our summer camp because they don't have it there and like grandma and grandpa live in Tennessee. So the young man flies from California to Tennessee. Then grandpa is a pilot and has a plane and brings him from Tennessee to Illinois.
Nice.
And I've had kids come from Arizona. I mean, I have a lot of kids that come, I should say a lot. I have a handful of kids that come from out of state, and come to our summer camps. And I'm not unique in that. We have the other states have that same thing happening as well, that somebody will come to a state that they are usually close to and then go to summer camp that way.
Okay.
But we keep all of our activities, our outings, all of our summer camps. So we're always low. We don't have more than 12 kids at an event on a summer camp, and we usually keep the outings to 6 kids because that way we can, you know, build relationships with those young men and actually have an impact in their lives. We're not one of these 300-kid camps. And there's nothing wrong with the people that do it that way, you know, trying to have an impact on the majority. But our goal is to build disciples. We're looking to grow Timothys. And we find that by having the smaller, camp sizes, we're more effective that way. Plus, we're also dealing with, you know, firearms and bows and arrows and things that can hurt people. So it's best to have it where we can control it a lot easier.
Yeah, that makes sense. Now the website for the national office,
it's the same as everybody else. It's the teamcto.org.
Okay.
It's just that if you look for a chapter, each state has a separate web page for their states.
Okay.
It's just so we didn't have it all on one big, you know, so it wouldn't be a big conglomeration of stuff. But the contact information for national office is there about getting involved, about being a donor, and all that type of stuff. I'm going to tell you, if you want to be a donor, you just click on Illinois and click on the donation page. And
yes, there you go. Yeah. So they can go to teamcto.org, find the Illinois page, and that'll take them to your page, and then they can donate from there. Or they could email you. Would that be okay too? Okay, and your email is
E Saint Pierre, which is E S T P I E R R E at teamcto.org.
Perfect.
So it's spelled just like the famous fighter.
Yes.
So
yes. Perfect. Okay. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk mission.
Okay.
CTO focuses on boys and young men between the ages of 7 and 20 years old.
That's right.
How do you make this age group aware of outdoor activities, the availability of them? How do you reach them?
Well, I'll put it like this. It's not difficult. Once you have some kids that are really excited about it, or teenagers that are really excited about it, they tell all their friends. So here's a great example. The first year I did this, I took two kids to a summer camp in Missouri because we didn't have enough, and I didn't know how to even do my own summer camp the first year. I had to go learn. So I took two kids with me to summer camp in Missouri, came back, and from the next weekend, I had 20 kids on my doorstep asking me to take them hunting.
Oh, my.
Saturday morning, about 10 a.m., my doorbell's ringing and the doors are being beat on by a bunch of neighborhood kids. Hey, are you going to take us hunting too? And I'm like, where are all you guys from?
Yeah, right.
So I gave out a bunch of pamphlets and business cards and told them to have their parents contact me or grandma contact me, or whoever they were with at the time, and we could get it going on getting them set up. So that's how easy it is to get started. It's not difficult at all. These kids, they go to school, they talk to each other, they, you know.
Yes.
They tell each other what's going on, and you don't have to, you really don't have to try really hard to get the kids.
Yes.
And same thing with everything else. It's all word of mouth. For other things, like we've done some print advertising just to support certain things, and we had to do that. But for the most part, we just do word of mouth.
And I imagine local churches probably are a good place to make people aware.
Some of them are. I mean, it depends on the church. Some churches welcome us with open arms and have us come in and talk about our program. Other churches are, you know, aren't as open. So, but that's okay. I mean, it's just wherever the Lord's leading us, that's where we go.
Yeah. And I was on your website earlier, Eric, and I was impressed that there was a very clear and concise traditionally orthodox Christian statement of faith. You're very clear in this that CTO, Cross Trail Outfitters, mm-hmm. is a Christ-centered organization. You've already spoken to that, and that you seek to have an impact in the lives of boys and young men, and you are to be applauded for that, because so many organizations today they're taking a step back away from being very clear and bold about that. So I applaud CTO for being that clear and courageous about who you are. Is there an emphasis at all on urban youth trying to reach into the cities and minister to urban youth?
I think that depends on where the chapter is located.
Yeah.
Because like some chapters are, like my chapter, for example, in Champaign here, is smack dab in a college town.
Mm.
So, I mean, we have a little bit of everything. We have urban youth, but we're close enough to farmland where we have a lot of rural youth too. So we kind of have like that dichotomy of both.
Yeah.
I don't have a Cook County chapter at this point in time, to really work through the Chicago area.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
But it's something I'd like to do in the future. But it really just depends. I mean, we've had some kids from Chicago come and work with us, and we've worked with a lot of kids who people would consider inner city or urban or at-risk type youth. We don't put those definitions on them. Like, we don't tell them that stuff. We just work with you because you're here and we like you. So, we are open to anybody who wants to work with us, as long as they understand that we're Christ-centered, you know. And we have a lot of kids who have no dads at home. Dad's gone. We stand in the gap a lot on missing fathers. We have a lot of single moms we work with. But we also have a handful of dads who are here and who help us stand in the gap for those boys who don't have fathers at home. Like, I can tell you stories of some of the, what I guess we call inner city or urban youth, that live here in Champaign, that would come over to my house and just to have dinner on a regular basis. because they didn't have dinner at home. You know, mom's working her butt off to try to make ends meet, and they're home by themselves, so they'll just walk over to our house and have dinner. But not just us, you know, some of the other men I work with, another gentleman who, his name's Mike, and he would open up his home. So like we had two young men who would go to his house and hang out with him and his son. He and his son were both in the program, or are both in the program. And, you know, they became friends with these other boys. And so they would just go to his house and around dinner time. And sometimes they wouldn't even know that they were coming. They just show up, you know, and then they just welcome them in, let them sit at the table. Yeah. I mean, none of the boys that we work with really eat a whole lot until they get in high school anyway. So
right.
they might have to be a little prepared because bigger boys will eat you out of house and home.
But that's a fact.
Yeah.
Well, I think that's a good peek, I think, Eric, into some of the challenges that you face. And but really, because you see it as ministry, you're really on mission to reach these boys and young men. I have a sense that you really encourage the adult members of the organizations to understand that they're very easily are serving as mentors, as chaperones, and really as father figures for a lot of these boys.
That's correct.
Yeah.
So when the guys get it, and, you know, and people always talk about how, you know, like we got a lot of things around here where a lot of people of our leadership says, we're ministering to these boys, but sometimes I'm ministering to these men too, because we have guys who, you know, there's a lot of hunting and fishing guys out there who want to work with us because they want to work with the kids, but they don't have a faith either. And obviously they can't teach around a campfire, but we, you know, there's men who have come through our program as well who walked in not believing and then, you know, come in, spend, you know, any amount of time with us, then they're believing in Christ just like the boys are. So we're not just converting, you know, we're not just finding boys that need Christ. We're finding adult men who need Christ as well.
Yes.
You know, and that's just, I think that's where we can be a little bit different because, you know, not to take anything away from the traditional church, but a lot of men are disenchanted by the traditional church because of it doesn't really meet them where they're at or their needs, or, you know, they don't understand it because it's not as personable sometimes when you just come in on a Sunday and then leave, where we kind of allow an opportunity for them to get to know us as men and, and then they realize, oh, you can still be a believer and still be this outdoorsy type guy. And it's okay because Christ,
I'm surprised that is such an epiphany for so many people, but I understand why it is too, and that's the point that you were making. Well, I think that it's clear then, at least I heard you say it, but I would like for you to expound on a little bit more, that there is actually time spent during these events sharing the gospel.
Oh yeah, yes.
And sometimes around the campfire?
Well, that's the purpose of the campfire.
Yeah.
What we do is, there's usually a question of the day that has to do with life. And I mean, for those of us who are leading the campfires, we spend a lot of time in prayer and listening to the Holy Spirit, about these questions and scriptures and trying to really hit home where God's trying to take everybody, much like a pastor would do with putting his message together. And, We get these questions and these scriptures from Holy Spirit and we'll write them on a whiteboard, and all the guides will take, usually write it down in a journal, and the boys will have a journal and they'll write it down on top of the page before we go out and hunt that morning. And here's an example. Like, I'm hunting with a young man who has hunted a lot of times, but has never harvested anything. He's hunted with his grandfather, grandmother, his father, and just never had an opportunity to hunt and kill something. So he's with me. We're out for probably, we were supposed to be out for 4 hours that morning, 5 hours that morning. Well, an hour and a half into it, he's already harvested his animal. We're on the, we're on the ground now, and we can't go back to camp because everybody else is still hunting. You know, there's active hunts going on, and we can't walk through where they're hunting because we'll disturb their hunt they don't know that we're coming. So we're supposed to be until the time that we're supposed to go back. So for what we do is we bust out the journals and usually have Bibles with us. Most of the guides have a Bible in their pack and or on their phone. I mean, a lot of guys have that stuff on their phones anymore. And we'll read the scripture and the question, and we'll just discuss it there. And like the young man I was with, he had never really prayed before. So we sat and prayed, and I taught him how to pray. And, you know, which really isn't, it's not a hard concept when you get it, but for somebody who's never prayed before, he's like, well, am I supposed to say something in particular? And I'm just, no, just, yeah. I gave him an example of what I was going to say, and then I let him pray, and then we sat and talked a little bit, and we prayed again, and just kind of got him understanding that prayer can just be you talking to God, either out loud or, you know, not out loud, but depending on what you feel like doing, you know. And he was just really excited about, you know, the prayer and praying for that God gave him a harvest, and he was able to get his first animal harvested. And he was looking, I mean, he'd been trying for several years for this, and this is the first time it had happened on a CTO outing. I'm not going to beat my own chest about that, but you know, but you know, we teased him a little bit, you know, we teased his parents a little bit about that, just because I know his dad real well and so forth, so on. But, the point is that he had that experience right there with the gospel. We were able to talk about scripture, and when you're there for 4 hours, you know, you can talk about a lot of stuff in the Bible, even more so than just the question of the day and the scripture that day. But then when we get back, you know, after our hunts are over for the day, and every guide has a different opportunity. They all get an opportunity to talk to their young man about the scripture and question, depending on their situation for the hunt. And then, or fishing even, you know, depending on the situation. And, when we get to campfire, all the adults be quiet. All the adults sit down there and just, they don't talk. And the boys talk around campfire. Mm-hmm. And we have one person leading the discussion, depending on who it is, that's supposed to lead that discussion that night. And everybody sits around the campfire, and that person facilitates while the boys talk, and all the other adults have to sit there and hold their tongue, even though they feel like they need to say something. We tell them, you just hold your tongue. Mm-hmm. If what you have to say is from the Lord, he'll let the facilitator know that you need to say something.
Yes. Yes. Amen.
You know, if it's just from you, then we'll just leave it at that.
Yes.
You know, but sometimes, you know, that sometimes stuff comes to us, and it's things that the Lord's dealing with us about, but it's not necessarily for everybody else.
Yes.
And you got to determine the difference between those two things. And it takes time to really learn that, this, you know, discernment on that. So,
yes. Yeah.
But yeah, so we let the boys talk. And then what I do personally is we have antler rings that we give the boys at summer camp. We find an antler shed. For those who don't know, and deer's antlers fall off about February, March of every year, and they regrow them in the fall. Well, we always search the areas where we do our camps for sheds. And then if we find one, we'll cut it up and we'll make what we call antler ring necklaces. And what I do with mine is I write the year on each one, and then I write the boys' names that accepted Christ and got baptized that year with our program. And, for the boys, what their goal is, what the reason why we give it to them is that way they have something to remember whatever decisions they made there at camp. They can take that home with them. So they don't leave it at the gate. You know, we work on these farms, and these landowners usually have a gate block kind of at the driveway, so people just can't drive on.
Yeah.
So tell them, don't leave it at the gate. When you go home, take your decision with you.
Amen.
And I talk to the parents about that, because a lot of the kids I work with they're not church. Their parents aren't church. They don't know anything about church. And I try to explain to the parents the decisions they made, and not to stifle this young man from living out this life-changing decision.
Yeah.
And then I'll open it up, if they'd like to learn more about the decision that their son made, I'll be happy to talk to them as well. So, you know, we have those opportunities for the parents as well. So,
yeah.
But God's called us to work with these young men, and that's what we do. And, now and again, you know, we get a girl that comes through, but you know, there's a different way we handle the women that come through, because we have women that take them out, and
yes,
we don't necessarily have a year-round program for them, but we have opportunities for that. But for the most part, we work with young men, because that's what God's called us to do, is work with these young men. Unfortunately, in our society, you know, the ideal of manhood and maleness has been hijacked by Hollywood, and
yes,
you know, I like to say the Homer Simpson, you know, philosophy, like, you know, as much as everybody likes The Simpsons, the idea of Homer is the example of what our culture makes men out to be, these bumbling buffoons.
Yes. Yeah.
And we kind of let these boys know that that's not who they are. and that they that the feelings they have inside about being boys is good, and that's what how God made them, and that there's nothing wrong with that, and we give them an opportunity to live out those God-given desires and get dirty and you know play in the mud, play in the dirt, use guns, bows and arrows, hatchets, throwing knives. We do all that type of stuff, of course, under supervision.
Sure.
But you know, all the things that they want to do as boys, we allow for, and we do a lot of wrestling. You know, one of the things that I'm known as for is you know wrestling with all the boys, and you know we have a lot of fun, and you know I get down on the dirt and in the rugs and wherever we're at and wrestle with them. You know, and obviously you know that's nature. I mean, even if we talk about, like, that's how boys test their manhood is by, you know, if you look at it, you see it in nature too. You'll see, like, you know, bull elephants. You know, they had a zoo out west where these two juvenile bull elephants were destroying all the habitat and bullying the giraffes and the rhinos and everything else that was in the same habitat as them. And they brought in this really old, ugly, scarred up bull elephant. And when those two juveniles tried to take him on, he whacked them both down to the ground and straightened them out real quick. But that's what happens. You know, especially when they hit that puberty stage, you know, the boys have to test out their new manhoodness. And that's how they do it. It's just by having adult males to, you know, control the situation. You know, I can wrestle with them, but I'm not going to hurt them, but I'm also not going to let them get, you know, overpower me either. I always have fun with them, but. That's how it works.
Yeah. A mutual friend of ours told me a little bit about your affection for wrestling. You want to share anything about that?
Well, I mean, I can talk a little bit about that. You know, the career path I was on before CTO came into my life was I've been a professional wrestler since 97. Mm-hmm. I trained for that, and my goal was to go to that big program they got in New York or Connecticut, where depending on how you look at it.
Mm-hmm.
And decided that after coming to know CTO, what's funny is how God works. That's what's funny about this.
Yes, yeah.
Is when I learned about CTO, shortly after learning about CTO, the doors came wide open for me for that other program. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't sure. And honestly, I was like, well, am I being tempted here? What's going on? Because I thought that God had led me to this ministry, and here it is now. There's this door opening, and I'm not sure if I'm supposed to walk through it anymore.
Yeah.
You know, there's definitely a timeline, a shelf life, if you will, in that type of industry. I was about midway. You know, when we started CTO, I was just over the midway mark of shelf life years wise, how old I am.
Yeah.
And, my thought was, well, do I take that and go with it? And it was just a lot of thoughts and prayer had to be involved in it. And I just didn't pursue it anymore. I didn't have the desire to pursue it anymore. And I kind of figured that if I would have pursued it, I would have been back in a position where I wasn't happy with what I was doing in life, and would have, you know, because I wouldn't have been following God's call, you know.
Yeah. Yeah.
And people ask me about that sometimes. They ask me about money and stuff like that, and I tell them, well, money's not everything, but, you know,
right.
People don't understand that, because especially if they've never really had any significant amount at any time in their lives, they realize it doesn't make you happy.
Right.
I always tell people money is like a magnifying glass. The more money you have, it just tells you what kind of character you would have had, whether you had it or not. So,
yeah, that's a good analogy.
Yeah, but so I just didn't pursue that, and I just kept going with CTO, and I'm still under contract with a group, you know, called 01 USA Pro Wrestling. And what's nice about them is I have a lot of freedom to do CTO because I'm still working on trying to get CTO to the point where I can actually draw a salary.
Mm-hmm.
I probably should have spent more time doing some of that than working with the boys, or let me rephrase that. I spent a lot of money on the boys rather than putting it in certain areas, because I always had a way of making extra money if I needed it. But
sure.
The next couple of years, my contract goes up, and I'm kind of focusing on, well, let's get this thing where I need to do financially, so that way I can actually live. And not have to wrestle anymore, because I'll be honest with you, the closer I get to 40, the more that those morning afters slower getting out of bed. You know, when I was in my 20s and like, all right, let's go.
Yes, right.
40, the more I'm like, how many hours is it going to take for me to get vertical? that are well into their 60s still, and kudos to them, but I don't want to be that guy.
Mm-mm. No. Yeah. Well, that's a very interesting combination, Eric. I applaud you for listening to the Lord, and because I imagine that the test that you endured, it really had you thinking long and hard, okay, which way am I supposed to go? So
yeah.
Clearly, from an outside observer, you made the right choice, and I'm happy for that, for the kingdom. You touched on a couple of things, and I recognized them as the three cornerstones of Cross Trails Outfitters. You said the mission was 1, building men, 2, preserving our heritage, and 3, sharing our faith. And I think that you've touched on all three of those very well, but I would like to loop back and just talk about preserving our heritage, if we could, for just a moment. And I think part of what you mean by that, and please correct me if I'm wrong, but part of what you mean by that, preserving our heritage, is the freedom to hunt and to fish and to use weapons as a part of our liberties and freedoms, and to teach those same freedoms and liberties to the next generation of young men. Is that somewhat accurate?
Yes, very much so. One of the things that is, you know, when you have a lot of downtime in your life, one of the things that I really enjoyed was learning about history and learning about our founding fathers. And
yeah.
You know, like, a lot of people don't even realize that there were 250 founding fathers. You know, they might know of like maybe a handful of 5 or so, maybe even not that many.
Yeah.
Because really in school, you only learn about, you know, Jefferson, mm-hmm. Franklin, Washington, and that's about as far as they go. I mean, they don't really, you know, and you might have one or two more that you run into that you may have picked up on, but there were 250 of those guys, and
that's more than a handful.
Yeah, but they don't talk about any of that, you know. And you know, people say, well, our nation wasn't founded on Christian principles. Well, you know, that's not true.
Right.
Out of those 250 guys, the 3 that, you know, there was only about 3 to 5 of them that were not Christ followers.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and Jefferson wasn't a Christ follower. Franklin wasn't a Christ follower. But Franklin understood the power of prayer.
Yeah.
And he understood who God was. And Jefferson, you know, yeah, he, you know, did what he did, but, that's not the case. I mean, the majority of the men who were there, and if you look at, I mean, you can look at our country, if you know anything about scripture, you can look at it and see that our whole judicial system is based on, you know, Jesse telling Moses how to handle people who are having problems, you know, rather than everybody coming to you, set up levels and so forth, so on.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously I know that scripture wasn't the sole document used. I mean, they used a lot of information from, you know, Rome and, you know, just a lot of old historical things about how to set things up. But the big difference between America and the rest of the world at that time, and probably still today, is that there, you know, the rest of the world believed that God and then gave to the king, and everybody was subject to the king.
Yeah.
Our founding fathers believed God gave to the people, and government was there to help the people, not to run the people's lives. It was there just to have a basis of where we have civilization and things aren't running amok.
Yes, that's right. Yeah.
But it was God to give them to the people, and then the government was to be there to serve the people. We've kind of lost that in our country, and we do talk a little bit about that with the boys. I don't want to say it's our primary focus. It's probably our secondary focus when it comes to the understanding the documents. But we've talked to them about that, and in my office, for example, we have different original documents hanging around the office for the boys to look at and ask questions about, and you know, we discuss that stuff, and we talk about the different founding fathers, and we talk about how they were Christians and how they started colleges and how they started, and the colleges they started were Christian colleges, and they were, and that they used to print the Bible and teach it in the public schools because they believed that it was something that was a foundation of our country, and that we should all, you know that information as a country, and that way we could all be on the same page. Like we talk about the dip, you know, like we're, gosh, you're getting me into other things now here.
That's okay.
Because we live in a post-Christian culture now in America. I mean,
yeah.
That's where we're at, you know.
Yes.
In the 1950s, I would even say in the 80s, I mean, probably wasn't until late 90s, early 2000s where when somebody said God, everybody thought of the Judeo-Christian God, you know,
yeah.
The God of the Bible. That when you said God, that's who they thought of. When you said Jesus, they knew who Jesus was.
Yeah.
Not necessarily agreed with Jesus or was a Christ follower, but they knew who Jesus was. They knew what he did and who he was, and
yeah.
Wasn't about whether or not he even existed or not. I mean, the existence of Christ wasn't a question at that time. You know,
right.
Just okay, but I don't necessarily buy into it. Okay, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's like when you say God, people are like, well, which God are you referring to?
Yes, that's right.
God are you talking about? So you have to kind of back up a little bit when you start talking to folks today. But I mean, to say that, but then you get people today saying that, well, we weren't based on Judeo-Christian, you know, our country wasn't based. I'm like, well, no, it was. You just, you know, don't want to admit that, you know.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter what office you hold in this country, you can't deny the history thereof, you know.
Right.
Washington was a praying man, and he prayed on a regular basis. And there are a lot of stories that you don't hear about in the books they teach in school where they talk about the miracles that had happened while he was fighting not only the Indians when he was under the British Army, but also when he was fighting for independence for our own country, the things that God had blessed him and protected him.
Yes.
You know, and but you don't hear about that stuff anymore. They don't talk about it in the books. They don't print that anymore because it's not their agenda.
Right. Yes, that's absolutely, yeah, that was a key statement right there. Right? That is not their agenda. So, again, I applaud you for doing that, for perhaps for the first time sharing our national heritage with young boys, because they're certainly not hearing that in our schools.
No, they're not. And I've actually helped young men with their papers.
That's great.
And cite sources. Because see, here's the thing. Let me just, for your listeners.
Yeah.
When you're looking at a history book, don't read it from the front. Go to the back. See where they're getting their sources from.
Yes.
And then see if then look at the credibility of those sources. Because a lot of history books today, they use sources that don't even, it's ridiculous where the sources are from.
Mm-hmm.
Find books that were around, that sourced things that were around when the things happened.
Yeah.
You know, when people wrote down things when it happened, they've tried to rewrite history, and they've done that by writing books that didn't have, that their opinions on things that didn't happen at the time it happened.
Mm-hmm.
And they cite those books as though those were facts from back in the time. And that's not how that works. You know, you gotta kind of educate yourself on that. You know, you have to know where they're getting their information from.
Yes.
And, again, there's plenty of information on the internet that can tell you whether the places they're citing from are worthwhile or not. You know, wall builders is not something that I'm not into wall builders. I'm not going to, you know, I'll promote them because I believe what they're doing is correct. But wall builders is a group out of Texas, who I learned about many, many years ago, where they give you what the books, and they give you what the original document said. They give you the original sources. They give you all that information. You can look up in history and what history said about itself. Not about what people today with their agendas are saying about history, so that way they can get people to believe the way that they want to believe. You know, unfortunately, the young men today, young women today, the kids in our schools are being forced, secular humanism is being forced upon them. That's why everybody's like, why do they have this, this mentality of expectation and everything's supposed to be given to me? It's because it's all, their whole, everything that they're teaching them in school today is about secular humanism and about me and I and satisfying my needs and so forth, so on, and not having to understand the concept of working for something and earning it. They have all these different excuses and labels they put on these poor kids that make them think that they have all these things wrong with them. You know, I get kids that come to me that have, I know that there are situations and kids have a certain, you know, ADHD and autism and things like that. And And there's, but you know, I can tell you, I got moral kids that come to me that say that they've been told they have these things that don't look like or experience that they have them.
Mm-hmm.
And then kids that actually have those things, like for example, I was at a store this past weekend handing out brochures for CTO and doing a little booth for CTO. The young man that came up and talked to me, and I could tell right off the bat that he had autism, and because he was talking to me. But he couldn't look me directly in the eye. He was looking all over the place.
Yeah.
And that's a sure sign of autism right there. But he can still operate and doesn't need, you know, he didn't need to, I don't know, he didn't need me to pander to him. I treat all the kids like they're just normal. And guess what? They all act as if, and they all appreciate it. You know, I got kids that have ADHD. Let me rephrase. I have 20 kids who tell me they have ADHD. I got one kid who actually shows the signs of it.
Yes. So,
and the one kid who shows the signs of it, I mean, you can't talk to him. He zones out within five words, you know, and you just gotta, hey, come back in here. Let's come back in and focus, you know.
Yeah.
He's not doing it because he's rude. He's just doing it because that's the way his brain works, you know. Yes. But then the other, you know, 19 kids who claim it, they don't have it, you know, and I'm not a doctor, but most of the time they're being told this by their teachers or counselors and other people who aren't qualified to tell a kid that they have this stuff. But, you know, that's just how the system's working today. And give them all their little special pills and so forth, so on. So that way, you know, they walk around like, you know why zombies are so important or so popular with kids today?
Yeah.
And why?
Yeah. Well, and I think CTO provides the perfect God-ordained antidote to all of that, guiding the next generation to Christ through the outdoors. That is a perfect, perfect mission statement.
Yeah.
Well, Eric, I want to give folks your contact information again. TeamCTO.org is the website. TeamCTO.org is the website, and you can find the Illinois chapter as well as chapters in those other states that I mentioned earlier. If you are listening and you live in Illinois, then you'll want to contact Eric. But if you're listening, you live in Missouri, North Carolina, South Carolina, Texas, Washington, or Virginia, there are chapters in your states, and I would encourage you to go to teamcto.org and search for where those chapters are located and reach out and contact them if you're interested in this kind of a program for young boys and young men in your area. Then I'm sure they would be happy to talk to you. You can email Eric directly. That's estpierre at teamcto.org. And I know that he'd be happy to chat with you and help you out in any way that he could. And then that same contact information, if you would just like to support that ministry financially, I'm sure they'd be very appreciative of that. Well, Eric, I appreciate you joining me on this episode of Soaring Eagle Radio, and maybe we'll circle back and do this again soon.
Yes. Thank you very much. Okay. I appreciate being here.
Yep. God bless you, man.
Thank you.
Soaring Eagle Radio is a production of Transforming Word Ministries and is released under Creative Commons Attribution Non-Commercial No Derivatives 4.0 International License. You may subscribe to the show on iTunes, follow us on Facebook where you can discuss this episode, and follow Soaring Eagle Radio on Twitter at Soaring Eagle Rad, and listen to every episode from our website, www.soaringeagleradio.com. The opening audio montage collection was created by Micah 68 Productions. Visit them on the internet at www.mika68.com for more information. Friends, remember the Apostle Paul's admonition to the believers meeting in Rome. Therefore, I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice, acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. I'm your host, Mike Spaulding. Thank you for joining us today for this edition of Soaring Eagle Radio.
Thank Thanks for tuning in today to the Soaring Eagle Radio Program. For more information about the show, write us at Soaring Eagle Radio, 682 West Grand Avenue, Lima, Ohio, 45801. You may also contact Mike directly by email.